God bless this church. Open our hearts and minds this morning as we hear the scripture from John 13, 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in process, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Yeah, Chase, if you'd stay afterwards, I'd love to get a picture with us. Since you joined there, I think I always forget to do that, and so just reminded we could do that. That'd be great. And then I think everybody heard Molly say, but Molly does have a birthday tomorrow, and so that's very very exciting and thankful for that. And that's coming up. So every once in a while in life, something unexpected happens, right? And when it does, it always catches us off guard, right? We're not ready for it. Seminary courses to become a pastor were incredibly challenging when I went through them. Had to learn ancient languages, how to interpret the Bible with like libraries of information, literally libraries of information. And let's just say there were two or three classes that I barely passed, but did not have to take over, unlike college, right, where I had to take some over, which is why I never forgot the first Greek course that I took in seminary. At the seminary was it. Now, I was fortunate enough, I took Greek in college, and it just so happened that I was at a Presbyterian church, and the pastor there was uber intelligent, and he taught Greek at the college and taught me in the signing up for it, and so it was very good, very challenging, and it was a confidence booster for me to know that even going into seminary that I had this basic understanding of Greek because of these college courses. But something happened on my first day in that seminary course that made me feel even better than the pre-knowledge that I had. The professor told us, "Look, get out a piece of paper today. I want you to write your name on the piece of paper, And then I want you to write down the grade that you want to have at the end of this course. Just write the grade that you want. And so that's what I did. I wrote the grade that I wanted. And he said, now here's the deal. You come to class every day, you do the work, you put effort in, and the grade that you've written down on that piece of paper is the grade that you'll have at the end of the semester. And so you better believe I showed up to every class, I worked extra hard, and at the end of that class, I had the grade that I had written down on the piece of paper. That was the grade that I received for that class, which was an A, by the way, in case you were wondering. I gave myself an A, is what I did. Professor Brad Johnson, he kind of threw me a curveball, and I didn't see it coming when I sat down to begin his class. But I also have not forgotten his name as a result of it. All these years later, I still remember his name. And that's generally the effect that the unexpected has on us, is that it tends to make an impression with us when something unexpected happens. Which is exactly why we are reading about this guy named Jesus 2,000 years later after he lived. Why we're still talking about him and learning about him, even to this day. He did things that were very unexpected. None of his disciples expected him to wash their feet during dinner. During dinner. They didn't expect that. Probably not before dinner either. Not after dinner. The passage says the meal was in progress when Jesus did this thing. They were eating, which for me would be the most impressionable time, right? If it was before the meal, you get me at the door, right? Which was common. It was common in those days. You had sandals, you had dirty roads, and so it was very common, right? So you catch me before the meal, you wash my feet at the door, you have time to wash your hands, we all sit down and we eat together. You get me after, right? I go to wash your feet afterwards. We've had dinner. I'm not touching food after I've touched your feet. And no foul, no big deal. But during the meal means that Jesus cut into his time of enjoying that meal with them to wash their feet as they continued to enjoy their meal together. But not Jesus. But regardless of when Jesus did it, whether it would have been before or after, but it was actually during, he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have done it. That was a servant's job to wash people's feet in the home. That's generally what the servant did. And if the servant wasn't available, and if you had no servant in your home, then the lowest person on the totem pole would be the person that washes feet, which was traditionally done. It was traditionally done, right? And so it would have been the youngest person out of the group maybe washing feet. It might have been the newest person introduced to the group. It might have been the least well-known of person that would have washed feet. Definitely never, ever, never, ever the most esteemed person, the honored guest, the spiritual teacher and leader. Washing feet wasn't for Jesus to do, and Peter knew it. He knew it, and Peter was insulted by it. And it caught him off guard because it wasn't the expectation. It wasn't even normative in those days. And so what Jesus did is that he shifted the expectation that day for people who consider themselves his followers, his believers, his students, right? And the standard would be known as servant leadership. Servant leadership. The cultural standard was back then, if you lead, then you get served. Everybody else is serving you. Jesus flipped the cultural standard upside down, and he said, look, now if you lead, then you serve. Servant leadership. 2,000 years later, the cultural standard has not changed. I mean, for the most part, generally speaking, there's still an understanding that if you lead, then you are served by others. But for Christians, the challenge is still before us. If you lead, then you serve. That's what we're called to do. Now, keep in mind, that you lead in multiple contexts all the time. You lead in your home, possibly. You lead at work, possibly. In your community. In your church, you probably have opportunities to lead. Today, I've prepared a video for us to watch. It's a couple of our church members talking about servant leadership and what that looks like in their context. And I can think of no better example of servant leaders in our communities than teachers, right? This is what teachers do. And I was able to get some clips of Eric Adams and Krenda Wade sharing their thoughts on servant leadership as teachers, but also in their homes. And I especially appreciate Eric. Eric is coming back right now from Florida. He took him and the school teachers took a whole busload of kids from the high school to Disney World. And I understand that like sleeping was a little, like they went all night. They started and drove all night, arrived in Disney World the next day, unloaded, said, have fun. And I had sent Eric a text, and he's like, oh, yeah, I can probably do that tonight. So he recorded this for me. And so if he looks a little exhausted in this video, it's because he's a little exhausted. So I appreciate that. And I also apologize. I think Krenda's audio is going to be, it's just going to be a little bit crispy, so you're going to need to listen up. But here is the video of Eric and Krenda talking about servant leadership.
I feel specifically called to encourage students with positive youth development opportunities so that they can overcome challenges and meet their goals. I'm also called to serve the community with photography and videos.
Every kid that walks into my classroom or that I coach, I remember has a different story. Everybody's got a different background, and kids today especially, and even in a small community like Lebanon, they are exposed to so much, and they have so much coming at them from social media, from their friend groups. They are exposed to even more than I was exposed to at that age. And so from the beginning, I've always tried to establish with the kids is when they're with me in my classroom or in our practice or whatever, that is a safe space for them.
What's challenging about being a teacher and a servant leader is you're often pulled in too many directions. A teacher is an educator, but also a counselor, a social worker, a friend. I feel committed to my students' everyday needs while keeping an eye on the future. I constantly worry when I see students struggling with mental, emotional, and physical challenges. It is hard to assess the best course of action when you see students' daily struggles. Communication is essential to discerning the needs of students in crisis. I'm very fortunate to work with many amazing teachers, counselors, and administrators. It takes a team of support to make sure students don't fall between the cracks.
So from the beginning, I tell them what I expect. And one of my strengths is relationship building. And that's holding kids to a standard is essentially how, in my mind, being a servant leader, because my job as a teacher is to prepare them for the real world. And in the real world, you should want to be a good person. And being a good person means I've got to turn in my work on time. I've got to show up to work. I've got to be respectful. I've got to be kind and do all these things. And they learn that every single day in the classroom, or at least that's what my goal is and my expectation for them is. And so when we don't make those expectations, there are conversations that are had and there are consequences for that. And so that is a real world expectation and a real world solution that they sometimes don't get in their homes. And so that creates sometimes a little tension with students because they're not used to that. But they will. That helps them learn that, okay, if I don't do this, then there's a consequence for this. Or if I do this, there's a reward for this. And those lessons help build them into better people. And that's my goal for each person that walks into my classroom, is they become a little bit better of a person than when they first entered that classroom. And so as a servant leader, you're listening, you're communicating, and you want them to do well. But at the same time, there still is the expectation that, you know, this is my classroom, and I am, what I say goes in my classroom, but that they can see me living that out every single day. That it's not something where it's just in my classroom, they see this. If they walked into my home, they would see the exact same thing. They would see that how I treat my husband, how I treat my daughter, how I treat my coworkers, how I treat every single person in my life, is how my expectations for them as students, that's what I expect from them, and that's how I expect them to treat others as well. And so I think being that example is just as important as it's not what I talk, but how I walk as well. And I think that's something they get to see from me.
Angela is my rock, and she is an example of a servant leader. We both see our calling is to serving youth. I find ways to support her calling, and she supports my calling. Angela gives 110%. There are so many details Angela takes care of. It makes my head spin.
For me, more of the shift in mentality came as being a mom, because as a mom, now I am not my focus anymore. It's my daughter. What is best for my daughter? And so that was where my shift in mentality really had to change, was, okay, it's not about me anymore at all. And so that's hard, because even though you can say it, your human selfishness is hard to start putting aside and being like, no, it's all about what's best for the baby.
Because marriage wasn't really that much of a sacrifice.
Like, no.
In your mind, you think it, and in some ways it is.
Yeah.
But like, not compared to having a kid, yeah. Right?
Thankful for myself, because I found the right person, and being with such a kind and loving and caring and an incredible person like Dusty makes it that shift so easy. And because he's so caring and passionate and loving towards me, that it's you have two people working together to make something work. But for having a kid, it's like, oh, okay, now there's a human that needs me for absolutely everything. and that was a change. But it just like everything, it takes time, and you learn and you adapt and you're flexible and you get through it and you make it to the other side.
Well, thank you to Eric and Krenda for their help with this message on servant leadership. I want to wrap up by using, Krenda talked about something at the end of her video. Hopefully you heard it. She was talking about servant leadership in a marriage and how it came so easily between her and Dusty. And I had to include all those nice things she said about Dusty in this, right? I had to include those. And because Father's Day is coming soon. And so I think Dusty got his present a little bit early. And that's online. And so if Dusty, I'm not sure I see Dusty out there, but he can go online now and hear all the nice things that his wife said about him publicly. But like Krenda said, we are just people. We're just human beings, right? That's all we are. And so that's why sometimes serving others can be hard. And it's just challenging, especially when people become too reliant on that, which is some of that parent-child relationship she was talking about. You know, while I was on vacation in the Smoky Mountains, I experienced a little RV envy at the campground I was at. The guy next to me, he had what is called a Class A camper, which is basically a full-size bus. It is a thing of beauty, right? Full-size bus. And the motor coach, I think, is another. It's called a motor coach. Had 5 slide outs, and he was hauling a new Jeep Rubicon behind it. And my little pop-up camper It is sufficient and it is a blessing, but I noticed the bigger toys. And he had the bigger toys, right? But my camping neighbor and I, we had several great conversations. And the last one, of course, ended with a tour of his motor bus. He let me check it out. But in one conversation, I learned that he was pseudo-retired. He said, "I'm pseudo-retired." He had started many businesses in life. He sold them all off. He started something new. That was his. He was entrepreneurial, so that's what he did. Now, he does consulting now with business executives in order to help business owners and managers have better employee relationships, because that's always an ongoing tension, is the employee-employer relationship. And so the whole principle behind his work now revolves around employers and employees recognizing that they both want something out of the relationship. They both want something positive, possibly something lasting, something enduring. And so this week, I talked to him this week. You know, I said, "Hey, I'm doing this message, and you might have some great advice." And so we had this conversation about this concept of servant leadership and how he might have seen it in his line of work. And his comment about it was this. Here's what he said to me. He said, "Servant leadership works great as long as both parties are willing to serve one another. What makes servant leadership hard is when one is serving and another is just taking." Which is exactly what Krenda pointed out, right, in her relationship with Dusty. What made it so easy was that she's able to give and he gives back in a great way. She even insinuated around her relationship with her students. If you notice that, she serves them as their teacher, but they also still need to understand it's her classroom, right? She's in charge there, not them, and so they need to respect that. So that's their way of giving back to her. And so I want to end with this thought. What areas of your life are you taking advantage of someone else's servant leadership effort? Are there areas of your life where you are receiving much of that but not giving back? My consultant friend had a word for this type of relationship and what it does. And the word that he used was entitlement. Is that when we receive all of someone else's servant leadership effort and give nothing in return, then we become entitled as people. And a relationship where someone is entitled, that's the expectation. Is that you give it all, I'm going to receive it all, but I give nothing back. Now, power, privilege, and affluence tend to develop entitlement in us. That can just kind of be the result. And so, do you suffer from a sense of entitlement in your expectation of others? We all likely have places where we show up and have this expectation in our lives. It could be this church. It might be church. You may show up here. You might expect to be served and cared for here, but feel like maybe that's where it stops and that you don't have to give anything in return, that you don't have to serve other people here, right? And we're always needing help in all different areas, in children's ministry and youth ministry and at the door greeting and all types of different roles here. And you might be getting a call about that soon. We've got our board is kind of working on helping people serve better within the church. And we think that there's a niche for you, and that niche is going to be good for you. And so we want to find that out. It might be at work. Maybe, you know, you're working, and especially if you're the boss. Sometimes, and that's my friend, that's what he told me. He said, "Man, corporate bosses, they're the worst." with this entitlement. Like just using people like resources and then expending them. But if you expect people to do for you, but you don't have to do for them in the workplace, then that's an area where you might be suffering from entitlement. If you're still a child in your parents' home, since this is Family Sunday, right? I don't want to leave kids out today. Don't want to leave the kids out. So kids, teenagers, young adults, you know, You might think that, gosh, it's your parents' job to do all the work at home. They're supposed to do the cooking and the cleaning and clean up after me. And that's what parents are supposed to do. But that's not the case. Like, we want you to learn to be a servant leader in the house. And that starts in home with serving your parents in that way and helping out in that way. So those are just a few examples. I want you to think about right now the places that you go during the week, the people that you connect with. Where do you go and serve like Jesus, and where do you go and act entitled to special care, like it's due to you? And understand that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a problem when we have that expectation. And so I'll close with this. Here's what I'll close with. I'm excited. My new camping friend, we've been texting and kind of talking. You know, the guy with the really great camper and the great Jeep, that guy. A friend, he wants to connect me with a friend of his, somebody that he's met through his work collaborations. A friend who left a very high position at an internationally known company that you would be very familiar with if I shared the name. This executive had a near-death experience, and he had a come-to-Jesus meeting with Jesus. I mean, that's what he had. He had this come-to-Jesus meeting with Jesus. And he realized in that moment that God had been very good to him his whole life and had given him much in life, but he had given very little back to God. He had been served by God in many amazing ways, but had not served back at the capacity at which he had received. And so he made a decision to quit his high-level executive job with this internationally known company and to spend the rest of his life serving God. And that's what he was going to be committed to. And so I get to talk to this guy soon. I haven't talked to him yet, but he's setting it up. We're going to have this conversation. Maybe there's something more I can share with you. But my point is this. Jesus has called you and I into servant ministry. That's what we're called to do. How have you been willing and how have you been unwilling to do what has been asked of you and to do what he asks of you each day? And what kind of wake-up call do you need if you haven't kicked it in gear yet? If you're not serving in all areas and facets of your life, what kind of wake-up call do you need to begin to take that call seriously on your life, to serve the people that you encounter in the name of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you've called us to servant leadership. And this is always a challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for all of our staff. It's a challenge for every leader and person in this church. And so, Lord, help give us an awareness this week. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us and shift us and help us see, oh, hey, here's the opportunity to be a servant leader, to not be entitled in what is due to you from someone else, but to serve them in a surprising way in the name of Jesus. Father, please, Spirit, make this evident to us this week. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.